Hey guys, this is Contemplations in Nirvana, She series. So, you know, doing my thing in Joburg in a particular Eastern city suburban area. And, you know, I know a lot of people. I'm super social, super kind, friendly. And now more than ever, I'm finding that it's important for me to put some restriction with regards to who and what contacts me and interacts with me in what particular way. So I found that, you know, and I was speaking to, I was speaking to someone very special to me, the other day about how my activism has transmuted into my personal interactions where I say, no hugs. I'm not comfortable with hugs. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because hugs are, you know, I was speaking to another friend of mine, Gemini, and he was like, hugs are very intimate, you know, and I was like, yeah, they're extremely intimate. And I think I've found that a lot of, I don't want to prescribe this type of behavior to men, but majority of the people I've experienced this kind of very uncomfortable, uneasing energy from after I've hugged them is from men. And if it's women, same thing, you know, like I felt the same way. And you know, I find it very interesting how people get offended when I voice out my preference, my uncomfortability with how we're interacting, right? You would think that, you know, in relating to one another, because when we relate to one another, when we interact with one another, everyone in the relating would be accommodating to people's preferences in some way, shape, or form, and still meet each person halfway. Like, all we gotta do is say hi, I see you, dope, that's all, keep it moving, I'll keep it moving too. I find hugs uncomfortable. I find them abrasive too. I feel like they're a tool, or at least, no, not that they are a tool, but I feel like they're being used as a tool to, I guess, invade in each other's spaces in very comfortable and quote-unquote, air quote, civil ways. And I stopped saying no to hugs to people I don't feel like hugging. And pretty soon I'm going to stop shaking hands with people I don't feel like shaking hands with. And that's just how I roll. So now how rape culture translates into this? Well, the premise of rape is that the perpetrator did not validate the other person's refusal, right? Refusal to engage in a sexual activity. And thus engaged in that sexual activity with that person without their consent, right? When we refer to rapey, right? Rapey vibes. We are, it's the same tone. The only difference is it's not sex. It's not the physical act of sexual intercourse that we're dealing with, right? Now we're dealing with people not being able to validate another person's position. Because they feel like, how dare you? How dare you respect yourself? How dare you have boundaries? How dare you have preferences? And how dare I not be your preference? Right? Very, you know, very sadistic, very power-driven, very, you know, I want to use the word melancholy, but I'm going to check my dictionary because that's what I do, melancholy. Yeah, you know, it's like, yes, that's exactly the word. A feeling of pensive sadness, typically with no obvious cause. Like, it's like this sadness has quite quickly transmuted into rage. You know, how we perceive people's preferences as invalidating our existence, you know? And rejection is quite, it's something that's normal and that's necessary, right? Rejection is something very normal and very necessary, right? So a part of my activism, right, is getting comfortable with refusal, right, and dismissal. Getting comfortable with it in the sense that and not in the sense of, you know, if I'm in a particular workplace and the dynamics are, I guess, in a workplace or in a space where the dynamics are quite toxic to my well-being, and I find myself there, I find myself being engaged in only one aspect, but being, you know, demeaned, dismissed, refused in another, right? So I'm speaking of very, you know, basic objectification. Oh, you're so pretty. And then when it comes to me popping off about politics or preferences, it's like, bitch, who are you? Do you get what I mean? So that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. So, you know, I can feel someone's about to call me, so I'm gonna wrap up. I can feel it. Cause I'm that psychic. It is what it is, man. So, you know, it's important that we at least allow the association of being a good, respectful person to come with the accepting and giving of rejection, right? Yeah. Yeah. And how much work that takes, you know, most of us assume quite consciously at surface level, right? Which is how we interact most times. That our choices are made in the moment. So choose the red pole or the blue pole. Your choice, yeah. But you're not making that choice now. You've already made that choice. And on top of that, in the documentary of the holographic universe, they quite beautifully showcase a documentary made on BBC where they did a brain scan with this presenter dude, and he were trying to showcase, not prove, they had already proven it, they were just showcasing it to us, reaffirming that our brains make our decisions for us before we make the decision, right? So our brain knew. So they could tell from the brain scans that he was going to hypothetically say left, way before he said left, way before parts of his consciousness knew that he was going to say yes. So within ourselves, it's interesting, this very mild, sublime disconnect almost feels like there is a puppet master inside or something whispering. It's so interesting. Like, I mean the holographic universe, that just the whole idea of this this whole idea, this idea in quantum physics, and just our lives in general being viewed as a hologram, as projections from our mind to our eye, which makes a whole lot of sense considering that, you know, the only reason I'm seeing what I'm seeing right now is because light is bouncing off the surfaces for me to be able to perceive, right? In the holographic universe, they, I guess, made the connection of us as human beings, video games, and the double split experiment where they shot photons between two splits within a metal surface. So they were shooting light through these things and onto another surface. And, you know, first time they tried it, it was quite obviously a tracing of those two slits, right? Then, and they were looking. And then when they did not look and they shot the photons, the light, through the double slit, when they came back and they viewed the surface that the light was being, you know, shot on, they found that it created multiples of it. So it wasn't just a double split, it was an interference pattern, which is interesting. Interesting because I'm linking it kind of to if you watch a boiling kettle, it won't boil, or if you watch a cake bake in the oven, it won't bake. You know, it's interesting when you move away and you come back to it, what comes out. So yeah. Go watch that documentary. I digress, but I don't, because everything's connected. So, you know, it's very easy to sit on a high horse and be like, yeah, blah, 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 you know, not blah, 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 as in yada, yada, but blah, 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 you know, as in, you know, yeah, I'm this person, I occupy this role in society, and I just don't feel like it's da, 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 and I don't want hugs, and, you know, and I feel like, why can't people understand that da, 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 right? Cool. But the premise of this is that we need to start learning to respect people's agency. Consider it, acknowledge it, validate it. It's theirs. Agency, agency, agency. And what do I mean by agency? You know, agency is a thing, a person that acts to produce a particular result, right? What that denotes is solitariness, independence, being able to choose for yourself and express for yourself. So, you know, I find it mad interesting. I find it really, really interesting how violent we are towards people making their own choices. Yeah. So I called in Kaya FM today fuming because, you know, they had just interviewed, I think it was at the 3 o'clock show, they had just interviewed a professor of the Limpopo University, and we've just, as a nation, been informed that, you know, there is now a bar within the University of Limpopo. Forgive me if it's not exactly, or if it's just an institution in Limpopo, but I believe I heard the University of Limpopo on the radio. And, you know, he was like, this professor was like, I wish I remembered his name. I was just so, like, me and my brother were so angry, and we were just kind of like chatting to each other. I didn't catch his name. I was just so angry. And his justification for opening a bar in an institution was that, you know, other universities do it and they don't want students drinking outside. I'm like, okay, cool. Firstly, if other people are taking drugs, doesn't mean that you should now take drugs. And what kind of justification, like, that doesn't make sense. Why? I mean, you should be countering that. Like, it's like saying, oh, hey, you know, UJ stole 500,000. I'm not saying they did, but, you know, hypothetically speaking, UJ stole 150,000 rands and we're going to do it. And what's wrong with it? It's just like, do you understand what I mean? The principle of it. It's just like, why would you, you know? And I was so angry because I, firsthand experience, I'm aware what alcohol does, guys. Like, the law that was passed that people now must drink on the streets, it is terrible. It is so bad. You know, I feel like right now, sexual harassment is at an all-time high. And I don't, you know, like, already, I grew up in the suburbs, but I also grew up Ikasi. I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up Kwamashu. I grew up in Malvern. I also grew up in Belgravia. I also traveled a lot most of my life and still do, you know, for long periods of time. But I know what it means to be the majority, the disadvantaged majority. Like, I know. Do you get what I mean? It's not a foreign concept to me. It's my next door neighbor. It's sometimes what I wake up to and sometimes not. So, you know, Kwamashu, there's a tavern around the corner. Malvern, there's 6 taverns around the corner. And it's like, and I have alcoholic relatives and relatives who have recovered from, you know, alcohol abuse. And I know what it does to people firsthand. And biologically and scientifically, I understand that, you know, alcohol really messes with your neurological placements. Like, it messes with it. Most alcoholics suffer from neurological disorders. In particular, the one I'm thinking about, the one that affects a part of your brain, it's called thiamine, T-H-I-A-M-I-N-E, disorder. It has another name, which I don't know how to pronounce. I think it's German. And the abbreviation for that name is WKS, right? This disorder enables cognitive impairment. What do I mean by cognitive impairment? I mean it fucks with your behavior, right? When we speak about cognitive, we're speaking about behavior, right? So I was reading a book, and note this down, reading a book by Donna Cunningham called Healing Pluto Problems, and I highly suggest you read that book. Everyone, even if you don't have any Pluto placements, you probably do. If you don't have any Scorpio place, just go read that book. She said there is a definite link between incest and alcoholism, right? So, South Africans drink every day, guys. Our sexual harassment rate, our rape rate is at an all-time high. And you, as a government, want to legalize a substance that, you know, impairs people's brains and their ability to discern what's right and wrong. You want to enable such a substance to be so accessible all the time. You want to release, put down restrictions on such a substance. You want to make it legal for people to drink and be drunk and act rowdy. And, you know, we are all aware of how abusive the justice system can be. Why? Everyone knows the political climate, the economic climate. Heck, South Africa is a post-traumatized society. Why would you put a bar in such a high stress level area like an institution? Why would you do that? For the sake of money? Or are you just trying to kill black people? Yes, I said it. And by kill, I mean it in all senses. Are you trying to, you know, I was speaking to my friend today in Mabuneng, and I was like, yo, dude, like, I feel like the Rand is, I feel like they've placed the Rand more valuable than the black man. And, you know, there's so much, guys, money. Oh my God. Oh, I'm about to go into a rant. Like, you know, value versus money, right? Let's go into that. Value versus money. Money is a current, listen, it is a current medium of exchange in the form of coins or banknotes. It could switch up. We could be bargaining with our hair. Who knows? We could be bargaining with peanuts or shoes or skills or tools, or we could be swapping houses. Who knows, right? But money is our current medium of exchange in the form of coins and banknotes. Current. Value. Value is the regard that something is held to deserve. The importance, the word, or usefulness of something. People are valuable. South Africans are valuable, not just to this society's economic system, to the whole globe. We need more people to be all right, and not just all right, thriving. Thriving. Getting better. We need that. Yo, like, we need to force our government, our leaders, we need to force a whole bunch of our government and leaders to go to rehabilitation centers, to take on holistic healing, to read a bunch of books, to read psychology books, to take courses beyond beyond Western psychology, whole holistic psychology regarding our indigenous roots. Everything, just like energy, we need to. You may be like, this is hoo-ha, no, but you know, yoga every day does develop the part of your brain that increases your self-esteem. Go listen to Amber Gon, go do research on your own. It's just there. All the information is there. And I'm just like, why? Anyway, no hugs. No hugs, no handshakes, no high fives. Gotta keep it moving and respect people. Test our capacity to love in the sense of respect. To still humanize with someone, to still humanize someone, even though they have rejected your proposal of engagement in that particular way, right? Are we able to bend? Yield? Are we humble enough? Or are our egos the only things that are relating to people? Are we relating to people, or is this a self-conscious ship? Is it? All right. That's me. I love you.